You may know him from Photoshop World or Kelby One or a bunch of other things that he's involved in. Scott Kelby is on the hot seat today.
This is Twit.
All right, folks, I'm here with Mr. Scott Kelby. He's the guy behind... Geez, what is Scott behind? Kelby Training, Kelby Media Group. He's behind Photoshop World. I mean, this guy has created magazines, like all this stuff. He's a media mogul who also happens to be a photographer. I'm lucky enough to have him on This Week in Photo today to allow me to pick his brain for a little bit. Scott Kelby, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Thanks, Fred. I'm doing great. Apparently, I'm behind, is I think my wife would tell you. That's it. He's behind on everything. He's behind on his emails. He's behind on taking out the trash. He's behind on everything.
Hey, you know, welcome to the world, man. We're all behind. It's a constant state of digging yourself out of a hole, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, let's talk about, you know, let's kick it off with Photoshop World that just ended, right? You just got through another successful Photoshop World. I've been watching I wasn't able to go, unfortunately, but I've been watching the post from people that did go, and it's been, you know, people are raving about it. Did it go as well as Facebook is saying it went?
Honestly, I mean, we've been doing this. This is like our 31st or 32nd Photoshop World. So we many years we do two a year. Next year we're doing two. So we do East Coast and West Coast. Honestly, Fred, it was amazing. Really? Sometimes it's just, you know, I think one of the things that's great about live training is it brings all these like-minded people together. Fred, I think this was a time in America where we needed to tune everything else out and just be together. And for 3 days, we just get focused on photography and on Photoshop and on Lightroom and lighting, and we forget about the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And everybody acted like that. Like, isn't this great? We stepped away from real life and we're just doing this creative stuff. And it was just such a great buzz there. It was a blast. You would have loved it, Fred. You would have loved it.
You know, I'm coming next time. That's all there is to it. I'm coming next time.
Yes, you are.
So tell me, just for the folks that weren't able to go, because obviously the whole country couldn't go, and people that may not have heard of Photoshop World, what is it and why did you create it?
Well, we created it years ago when we started the National Association for Photoshop Professionals as the annual convention for members of our organization. And it still is today. It is the official convention of Kelby One. So it is the trainers that they see online in our online training brought to life. So it's where the online training comes to life. It's a three-day conference. It's like I said, Photoshop, it's Lightroom, it's lighting, it's photography, it's inspiration, it's social media, it's all that stuff. And it's tons of classes, over 100 training classes on all these different tracks, so you can kind of choose which track you want to go to, move between tracks. There is a partner pavilion where we have a bunch of sponsors and exhibitors and things, and there's a bunch of parties and a bunch of fun stuff. Because you know what it is? You need Photoshop friends, Fred.
Yeah.
When you're stuck, you need to be able to call people, and it's about community. It really is a big, big community event, which is why we have so many surrounding all this. We have so many parties and get-togethers and meetups and late-night classes and stuff. It reminds me of how the old Macworld used to be back in the day, you know, like late-night sessions and stuff like that. It's kind of – we were inspired by that when we started it. You know, we used to love to go to Macworld Expo in San Francisco and in Boston. And remember those days, Fred? That was so much.
I remember those, and it's all over now. I mean, it's still here kind of. But Apple's too big, you know, and it's just – it's not the same kind of club that it was way back.
Right. And you don't have to defend it anymore.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Apple went from being the Rebel Alliance to the Death Star, you know?
So we're trying to kind of maintain that spirit of the old days like that, where there's so many community things. And it's just a lot of fun. And we get amazing trainers. We really just get the best people. We had trainers from all over the world. We have trainers from Mumbai, India there. We've got guys from Amsterdam, from the UK, from Ireland. I mean, just all over. It's just we had just really, really a great squad of trainers, about 40 trainers. from all over, and we come together for 3 years. And I get to hire the people. That's my job. I get to hire the trainers, and I just want to hire the people that are in it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
I want to the people who are passionate about it. They want to share everything they know. They're not doing it for the money. They're not doing it because of any other reason other than they're infected with the bug of I want to teach other people what I've learned. And so it's a great group of people, and that they're so approachable. I mean, it's the icons of the industry, Joe McNally and Moose Peterson, and I mean Peter Hurley. All these icons are there. Yeah. You know, Lindsay Adler. Everybody that is like hot right now are all there. And these are people that live to tell other people what their latest techniques. And so it creates a wonderful atmosphere. It really does. And this one was a blast. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, and I remember like the buzz leading up to the show was big because, you know, like you said, you create this ecosystem with all these rock stars like Lindsay and, you know, and all these people that they are, you know, when I talk to Lindsay, for example, you can feel her passion for it. It's not like, hey, where's the next buck coming from or how can I monetize this? You know, of course, everyone's a business person and you gotta eat at night. But at the same time, you can tell that DNA strand that runs through people that are in it because they like teaching other people and they want to share the craft and bringing all those people together. Yeah, you can see you make the magic, right?
Yeah, and you're one of those people. You're one of those people that you love it. As long as I've known you, you've been that way. And it's when you find the right people, magic happens.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Speaking of magic, part of the magic of Photoshop World, I remember, and I don't know if you're still doing this or if you did this on this last show, was you use Photoshop World as an excuse or as an excuse for you to get on stage and play music because you're a musician. And I noticed there's a Fender logo on the badge. Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, the whole reason Scott Kelby created Photoshop World is so he could get on stage and perform and be Axl Rose for 20 minutes, right? So go ahead. Okay, I'm outing you, man. I'm outing you.
Okay. Well, I will say this. So, for many years, I was a professional musician, right? Yeah. I played keyboard and drums, and now I play guitar. I on my Twitter thing, it says struggling guitarist, and that's a pretty good way.
Yeah.
Fred, no one's going to let me play guitar with them on stage unless it's at Photoshop World.
So unless you own the venue.
Because that's why. I have my own band. We play a set, but we did something different this time. Then we did an instructor jam session. The second set was invite any of the Kelby One instructors to come up on stage and play. Well, you know how it is. How many musicians, Fred, do you know that are photographers?
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Yeah. Photographers there, right? So we invited them all to come up on stage, and man, it was a blast. So yeah, I got to play drums, I got to play keyboards, I got to play guitar, I got to sing, I got to wear sunglasses for all of it. I look so much cooler.
We all look cooler with sunglasses indoors, Scott. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, and I had like the mirrored ones, aviators. It was very Tom Cruise in Top Gun with a guitar. So anyway, yeah, that's not why I created Photoshop World. That's just an extra side benefit. Is once or twice a year I get to play a set, so it is a lot of fun.
Well, speaking of creating things, one of the things you created was a whole publishing arm of Kelby. You guys are doing magazines and all that kind of like physical atom based media. Is all that over now? Like what's the status of that world?
Well, we still publish Photoshop User and Lightroom Magazine, both two separate magazines, 10 times a year each. So we do 20 issues a year. Yeah, no, we still do them. They're just for members. They're just for Kelby One members. They're still awesome. They're still, you know, I think today they're the best they've ever been, and I would love to take credit for it, but my managing editor, Chris Main, the guy's on fire. I don't know what's happened in the last few years, but he is doing a lights-out job. I mean, those magazines are the best they've ever been.
Wow.
He does have a wider pool of people to choose from, so he's got great writers from all over the world that are writing for the magazines. Photoshop User, I think, is still about 130 pages an issue. And Lightroom Magazine runs anywhere between 40 and 60, depending on the issue. But yeah, we publish 20 of those a year. And of course, I still write books. We have in-house editors and designers, and I write. Last year, I only wrote one book last year.
What?
But this year, I know, it was a really weird year. We did produce a book by Moose Peterson, though. So our team did produce a beautiful book on aviation photography by Moose. So we did do more than just one book, but I only wrote one last year, which for me is ridiculous. I've already written two this year, so I'm hoping to do five total this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, I've got several books, I think, from you behind me on the shelf back there.
All right.
And,
yay.
And I remember, and I don't know if this is still the case, but I remember you being for several years running, because you were with Peach Pit Press when Peach Pit was still Peach Pit, right?
Yeah.
And you were their like number one author, and I think maybe the number one author in the country for nonfiction type books, right? Is that, did I get that right?
Yeah, for 6 years in a row. Yeah, I was the, and
you
I was
just saying like, oh yeah, yeah, just for 6 years I was, yeah.
Well, you know what, the first year everybody was, so the first year they threw a huge party for me. Like the first year it happened, it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
And the second year they took me to dinner, and the third year nothing, and the fourth year nothing, and the fifth year nothing, and the sixth year nothing. Then I was number one photography techniques book author for like 4 years. Nobody cared. Here it's just like, oh good, and I get that trophy and they're like, congratulations. And you know, but the first one, Fred, can I tell you real quickly what they did for the first one?
Yeah.
So my wife planned the party, and she wouldn't tell me what it was. She puts me in a limo, and we drive to Tampa Stadium. So I think, oh my gosh, I know what she did. She bought me box seats, like not box seats, club seats. It's not a luxury box. It's just seats that are under a cover. Yeah. We're in Florida, Fred. It's a million degrees. If you're under a cover, you've got the best seats in the house. I think she's going to take me there. She didn't, Fred. They rented Tampa Stadium. They rented the entire stadium. They threw a party for me. I come in, my picture's up on the big screen, the whole nine yards. Hundreds of my friends are there. It's all a whole catered affair, sit down. And then they're making all these announcements, and my publisher flies in, all these people. And then, ready for this? So they have my very favorite football player in the world come out and hand me the award. Derek Brooks, linebacker for the Bucks, Hall of Famer, comes out and hands me my award. Fred, I thought I was going to die.
Wow.
The guy's a Hall of Famer. He's my favorite player in history, Derek Brooks, a great humanitarian, a wonderful guy, incredible Hall of Fame linebacker, comes out and hands me a big trophy and one of his shirts signed and a helmet. It was incredible. It was one of the greatest nights of my life. My whole family was there. All my friends were there. My publishers. It was amazing. And the next year was dinner, and next year, nothing.
Yeah.
And now, Fred, time I win an award. Like this year, they gave me an award for selling 5.6 million books. Wow. They gave me an award, and they were like,
Well, Scott, so that brings up another question here, because, and this is an important question, so brace yourself. Yeah, exactly. If you were a tree, which tree would you be? Now, like,
maple. I love maple syrup.
So that'd be cannibalism, though. So you can.
Oh gosh, you make me feel bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel bad. I said.
So how does one get to be Scott Kelby, right? So like all those things that have happened, it seems, you know, obviously we all know that people think that, you know, when you're successful, they only see the successes, they don't see the failures. So it looks like you're just, you know, every time you swing, it's a home run. We all know that, you know, there's lots of misses, and we don't publicize the misses that much. But how do you get to, like, was it a plan where you said, you know what, one day I'm going to have a publishing arm, I'm going to have an online education arm, I'm going to do shows, I'm going to be training, plus I'm going to dabble in music. And, you know, did you have that plan, or was it an iterative kind of let's, you know, figure this out as we go along?
Well, Fred, I would love to tell you it was a plan, because I would sound so much smarter. Honestly, it was never a plan. It was just always, we would do something, and if it worked, we would walk through the next door.
Yeah.
I think it was just a string of blessings. It was, I would love to take credit for it, because I would sound much smarter than I really am. But honestly, so many wonderful things happened that just, doors opened at the right time, things happened, we met the right people. It was an awful lot of just, like, something happens and you're like, I can't believe that just happened.
Right.
So it was just a lot of, the only word I can come up with is blessings. It wasn't part of a bigger plan.
Yep.
The only thing, if I was going to give us any credit for anything, it would just be when an opportunity came up, we went for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you know, we thought, hey, we could do this or we could start this magazine, whatever. And I give a lot of credit to my wife, Calibra. She was always the, let's go, let's do it. If we don't do it, somebody else will. Let's go. This is a great idea. And she always pushed us to do things. And if she thought it was a good idea, she got behind it 100%. And actually help make it happen. Yeah. So, you know, that's the only credit is when a door opened, and door opens, we were very blessed that they opened a lot. We walked through them. But, you know, honestly, I saw a quote yesterday from the optics conference that B&H Photo's doing. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys was speaking about wildlife photography, and he said, you know, an awful lot of wildlife photography is luck. Yeah. That was the quote.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? An awful lot of business, Fred, is luck.
Yeah.
And I hear people go fill in the blanks later, like they had all these lucky things happen, later they go, well, we knew the market was going to move that way, and I'm like, come on. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are times where that happens, but I think there's a lot of backfilling, but I would be lying if I told you that it wasn't, Fred. We got a lot of lucky breaks, a lot of timing, just things worked out, you know, so it was just, you know,
yeah.
And you're right, we had our ups and had our downs too. And so, you know, it's like we've been able to bounce back, which is great. But yeah, we went through some tough times too.
Yeah.
You know, when the Adobe Creative Cloud was first introduced,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were the National Association of Photoshop Professionals. And we knew it was coming like 8 months before it came. Like we've been working with Adobe and talking to them and telling them, don't do this, you know, this is gonna be crazy, you know. But by the time they did it, we understood why they were doing it, why it was necessary, and we were kind of at peace with it. Fred, we got trashed, dude.
Yeah.
The community killed us. Like we were in cahoots with Adobe, like it was our, you know? Dude, we got trashed. I mean, I had people mentioning my mom. It was really bad.
Oh, geez.
And like, not only do we have nothing to gain from it, we had the most to lose from it. And it was really bad. That was one of the worst parts of my entire career. And I never told anybody, hey, you should go join the Creative Cloud. I just did a Q&A of here's what it is. But they wanted me, I think people thought, because in a couple of other instances, I was able to get Adobe to change a policy.
Mm-hmm.
They thought I could go and change their entire business model.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't something they were sitting around in Adobe's headquarters and go, hey, you want to do a subscription? What do you think? Okay. Dude, this is their entire business plan. And I think that the public thought that I would be so outraged and that I'd be able to change Adobe's mind. But I knew in my heart of hearts, Fred,
yep.
that decision, that was a business decision made for the entire future of Adobe. Yep. Of course, now you look back and it seems like they were brilliant,
exactly.
You know?
And yeah.
The right thing, but at the time there was so much anger that it directly affected me and my company in a horrible way, Fred.
Yeah.
Members were diving out of our association, so it was really bad, and I was the poster boy for everything that Adobe had done to them.
Yeah,
it was not a fun
time. It's interesting. It's like you're like the members in the association, the negative ones, were looking at you like, hey, this guy is analogous to Jesus, when really you were Moses, right?
Yes.
Like, I just got the tablets, man. I didn't write them.
Here they are. Yeah. Whoops, I dropped one. It was like they really felt like that I could change this.
Yeah.
And I knew that I couldn't. They wanted me to be outraged, but I knew about it for 8 months. I was outraged when they called me the first time and told me it's going to happen. But 8 months later, Fred, it was a way of life, and I've been getting ready for it. I'm preparing, and we're worried about informing our members, and they're trying to, like, they were outside of our doors with pitchforks and torches. It was like we had Frankenstein inside. It was not.
Well, that's the ups and the downs, right? And then speaking of the, you know, the downs, that's one of the downs. You can't control that. But a couple of years ago, your company went through kind of a reorg and reshifting and refocusing and rebranding and all that stuff. Take us through that a little bit, kind of a Reader's Digest. What was the impetus of that change, and did it work? I mean, obviously, you're still here, so it worked, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, it worked phenomenally well. It was just an awful thing to have to go through.
Yeah.
So about 2.5 years ago, almost exactly 2.5 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
We had gotten to a point where our business had actually split. One half of our business was doing what we do today, education. The other half of our business was actually making videos and content for other people. Like we had 11 people working in one particular division that did nothing but make videos for one company.
Oh, wow.
11 people, their full-time job, and they were videographers and script writers and on-air talent and all. And all they did was work for one company creating content for them.
Yes.
Then we were doing content for all kinds of other companies. And we were not very good at it. We made great content. We were not good at making money at it.
Yeah.
We were apparently very bad at making money at doing, you know, everybody else loved our videos, but it was not a great thing for us.
Sure.
And at the same time that happened was when the DSLR slowdown hit, where all the camera companies, all their slowed. So it was kind of a double-edged thing, and we were overstaffed, Fred. We had so many people working here,
yeah.
But not working on what we do today. Because our thing as a company is we have to release at least one class every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So Thursday's new class Thursday, we release a full on-length class every week. And then besides all the other things we do, that's one of our tenets. And we still do that today. We've never missed a single week.
Wow.
But we have, you know, 45 less employees than we did then.
Yeah.
So we had to divest ourselves of all that other stuff that wasn't education.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a Russian saying that says, if you chase two rabbits, you'll catch neither.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where we were. I think we'd let the quality of our education slip. And I think that we weren't making any money on doing this other stuff. In fact, we were losing money doing content for somebody else. And we had to make a decision that says, you know what? We're going to get back to focusing on what we love, which is education. And, you know, I was at Photoshop World, and a guy stops me and goes, hey, Mr. Kelby, I just want to let you know, I don't know what the hell you guys are doing, but your stuff is just gets better and better and better every month. This is the best it's ever been. I've been a member for 14 years and all. And we hear that all the time, Fred. Since we've put our focus the last 2 years just on education, and it's what we should be doing. We should not be messing with that other stuff.
Yeah.
We are an education company. We're not a third party. You know, and we can do it. We have the skills and we have the great people, but it's just not where our heart is, and it's not where our business head is. Our business head is in education. So we were chasing two rabbits, and we weren't catching either one, Fred. And
yeah.
Since we made that change, it's changed everything. I mean, we've been able to grow. We've been able to add on more employees. You know, it's changed everything. I wish I had done it earlier. I wish I had done it a few years earlier. You always look back, you know. And people told me that in the industry. They said, you know, once you do it, you're going to look back and go, I waited too long. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And I miss, you know, people that were here that worked here. Of course, you know, I miss them. A lot of them are still cool. We work with them and we get along great. I had a lot of those folks still at Photoshop World and all. So, you know, we did it in as best a way as we possibly could. And we got lots of outside input on how to handle a major restructuring in the most compassionate, genuine, real way. But all that being aside, it was the worst thing that I ever had to go through in my career, worse than the Adobe stuff. It was a heartbreaking thing to do because you love the people you work with. At least I do. I mean, I love the people we had, and I knew that we had such great talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, people that you work with, hang out with, and you go to dinner with, and, you know, it was hard. I did feel like we had such great quality people that they were landing their feet, and man, people were getting the job offers left and right when they left here. So
yeah.
So it turned out for everybody. It turned out great for us, and it turned out great for most of them as well. But yeah, it stunk, and I'm glad it's in my rearview mirror because it was a horrible thing. I would never want to have to go through that again. It was single-handedly the worst thing I had to go through from a professional aspect.
Wow.
But
yeah, I mean it's evolution, right? And
yeah.
Change, you know, I'm speaking to the choir obviously, but change is always is usually uncomfortable, but if it's the right change at the end of it, you can have this conversation and say, yeah, I can see that I should have done that, but it was rough pulling that scab off. It's like surgery, right? I don't want to have surgery,
yeah.
But now I can walk again, you know. So
yeah, it was heartbreaking would be the word, but
yeah.
But you know, and then you just never knew. But wait, we knew that we had to cut deep to make sure that we would be around, and so it was the right thing to do. And it's transformed our company to where we are today, which is we're in such a good place. And next year we're going back to two Photoshop Worlds again. We're doing Orlando and Vegas, and we've still been. And I would say that the quality of content that we're doing, because everybody here only works for one thing. Is just on making great education. It is literally soared. So
that's
I'm happy, and but it was bad to go through.
Well, let's talk about that.
I'm not laughing about it like it was funny. Believe me, it was not. I'm laughing about it like, oh my God, I'm so glad that's
in my past. It's in the rearview mirror. And I want to talk about education a little bit. You and I were talking before I started recording about how when we mention, typically on This Week in Photo, when we mention education, it's usually three big players. It's you guys, Kelby Media, it's Creative Live, and Lynda. Those are the juggernauts, or Lynda LinkedIn now, right?
Sure, right.
Yeah, and while I have you on the hot seat, I want to ask you, and this question came up in an interview I did last week, and it was about education and how you know when you're ready to start charging. How do you know when you're a professional photographer and that your skills and your images or video are saleable? Yeah, do you know? You have an answer to that?
Yeah, I do. And I would think, now this is just my own opinion, but you get to a point where people start asking you, hey, would you take my family's portrait? Mm-hmm. Hey, would you cover my event? I think it's when people start asking you, now they may not want to pay you, but they recognize your skill.
Yeah.
Like at this point, they're saying, hey, would you shoot my friend's wedding? Would you, you know, now usually if it's a wedding, they're going to make you pay.
Yeah.
But I mean, even they know they're going to have to charge you. But when you start getting people, can you do my headshots for my company? Can you cover this event for me? I think when people start asking you to do work, that's when it's time to start making that jump. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy thing to do, because I think for most of us, and I don't know about you, Fred, but you've talked to a lot of people, I'm sure, the same way. Mm-hmm. Their dream as a photographer is not to quit their job and be a photographer, but to make enough money in photography to pay for their gear.
Yeah,
like always have the new lens and the new stuff and on. I talk to so many people and I totally get it. So I think it's when people start asking you, like, hey, can you do this? Can you cover this event? Or, hey, how can I get a copy of that print? Would you make me a print? You know, mm-hmm. When people start wanting your work, that's when people are starting to be willing to pay for it. Yeah. So I think it's harder for you as a photographer, right, to go, hey, look, I'm really good, I'm gonna start charging. The cue is when people start asking you. And if people go on your Facebook page, like I talked to a woman who got her start strictly like that, and she's rather famous now, and she got her start by people going, hey, would you shoot, you know, she was in college, and people, hey, would you shoot my friend's headshot? Hey, would you shoot her Facebook page? And then she starts charging a little, a lot, and now she's doing national campaigns.
Fantastic.
But it literally started with friends asking her. When friends start asking you to take photos, they starting to consider you a professional.
I love that. See, that's a perfect answer. you know, I want to wrap this up and kind of get your idea or your thoughts on what's next. You know, and I want to make this twofold. Like, what's next for the Kelby Empire, and you know, what's the next leg that you want to build, focusing on education, obviously. And what do you think is next for the industry going forward? I mean, there's lots of different things that are happening, and I'm speaking specifically about the online education industry. You know, we've got, you know, I can learn on my phone, I can learn on the web, I can boot up Apple TV and learn there. What do you feel like is the that we're moving for, you know, and that's the B side of the question.
All right. So what was the first one again? You had
where,
a really
where
good
are
first
you going? So where are you going?
Okay.
And where is the industry going?
All right. The thing we're working on right now, and we're deep, deep in the mix of it, is certification, professional certification.
Cool.
So we've been 8 or 9 months on is building the infrastructure. The infrastructure's done, and now we're actually working on the tests themselves. So that's what's up for us is certification. We'd be called a K-1 certification, so you can get K-1 certified in Photoshop, K-1 certified in Lightroom, you know, things like that. K-1 certified wedding photographer, K-1 certified portrait photographer, that kind of stuff. And basically, it's a series of tests, a series of classes that you have to fulfill, a series of tests that you have to take, a big practice test, and then a main test.
Yep.
So it is a series of, so that's what we're working on right now. That's like our hot thing. We're working on all kinds of things to make our member experience better, right? We always want people to renew. That's a very, very big thing.
Sure.
So the focus of our whole company is not so much new members, though, of course, that new members are always important, and we're always trying. We have a portion of our company that works on attracting new members, but keeping our members extremely happy is the number one goal.
Yeah.
When you have a membership organization, if you don't keep them happy, they will go. If you don't feed the fish, Fred, they will die.
Yeah.
So you must constantly make their membership more valuable, but without raising the price. So that's our main focus, and
awesome.
We keep everybody happy. As far as the industry goes, I can tell you what we're seeing and what we think is really important. We decided last year to build a community, a worldwide community of people. So we have 70-something thousand people that are in and out of there, but it's 13 to 15,000 people that are really active in this community. Fred, if you go in there and you ask a question on anything, your question will be answered in minutes from someone around the world.
Nice.
But what we've done, I think the thing we've done that's really special is we let everybody know from the beginning, we don't tolerate any crap. No attitude, no meanness, no talking down to people, nothing. If you're going to be in there, you have to be the most pleasant, happy, and helpful person. And you know what, Fred? It's magic.
Wow.
Our community is absolutely, we've only in the history, we had to warn two people and we kicked out one.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
And these people live in there. They had their own meetings and stuff at Photoshop World. Like, they had their own events and stuff. They're their own thing. And they're the most helpful people. If you go in there with a Lightroom, photography, Photoshop question, it is seconds before someone comes on, welcomes you with a big hug, and answers your question. And Fred, you know, and I know, in the world at large, you go into a forum, that's where angry people gather and wait for you to make a mistake.
That's right. That's right.
And we tried to build something completely different from the very beginning. And honestly, it is the friendliest, most welcoming, warm place. And these people, you can't believe the way they meet offline. Like, they become friends, and then they're traveling together and taking trips together. So it is everything that we hoped it would be. And what this is leading to is every time we post a course, so on Thursday, whatever course we post, we have a little button that says discuss this course. And you can talk directly to the instructor that taught the course. And the instructors are in there answering questions and interacting. I think the next thing, and we're trying to lead the way on that, is to connect the teacher and the student together. It's one thing to talk with your peers about what you just saw, and you will be able to, but it's another thing when you ask a question and someone goes, well, I think he meant this, and then the instructor steps in and goes, hi, here's what I meant, and they explain that.
Yes.
And we have instructors that live in those forums, and they take it very, very seriously. And it, since it is such a happy, wonderful, friendly place, they don't mind going there because no one's trying to attack them, no one's trying to make them look bad, and they're not trying to make anybody look bad. They want to help their students. So I think this interaction, I think this is why live events are getting popular. You know, I'm still out doing 21 seminars a year, Fred. I go all over the country.
Wow.
I'm talking to between 300 and 500 people per day at $99 a piece. So these are people that are investing in their education. And the reason why I think live is an important thing, maybe more important now, is they can go watch an online class, right? They can go to YouTube, they can come to us, they can go to Linda, they can go to Creative Live, they can go anywhere. But when you go and you meet the instructor live, there is an inspiration that you get and a feeling. I mean, let's take photography out of it, make it a concert.
Mm-hmm.
If I put on, I like Bon Jovi, right? So if I put on a Bon Jovi album, it sounds perfect and pristine and it's clean. If I go see Bon Jovi in concert, it's a noisy mess.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm jumping up and down, I'm screaming, I'm cheering, I'm excited. I leave and I go buy another Bon Jovi record. There's something that happens in a live performance that you're willing to pay 20 times what you pay to hear worse music.
Yeah.
But that excitement, that connection that you get at a live event, you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there is something about the connection that we make in person, even if we don't actually talk to the instructor. I think it's wonderful that at like Photoshop World and at my events, I answer questions before the seminar, on every single break for 30 minutes at lunch, and I stay until the last question's answered, unless I have a flight that's so tight, I answer right up to the minute I have to get in my Uber and race to the airport. But I wanna meet people, I love people, I love meeting people, I love helping people, I'm in the same boat that you're in. This isn't because you're trying to make a bunch of money, you were called to do this, Fred, it's
yeah.
your thing, you've been teaching people forever, and it's just who you are, and it's what you are, and it's what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And when you see a student get something and the light bulb come on, it just turns you on, and you're like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way. And you know the people that we talk to, Fred, we run in the same circles of people that this is just what they really love. And so I think getting to see them live and meet them live and realize that these people in our industry, we know a couple of phonies, Fred, but we know a lot of genuine people. Mm-hmm. We know a lot of people who are just like, man, that guy's awesome, or she's amazing. And, you know, those people, you get to meet them. It's very inspiring.
Yeah. No, that's great. Those are words to live by. And, I 100% agree with you. There's something magic about live. And I think part of it is, I mean, you obviously, I mean, the Photoshop world and the seminars and all that. But part of that magic, I think, is, hey, this is not repeatable. This is something that I'm seeing this moment and I'm experiencing this moment with all these other people, and it's gone. It's not, I can't rewind it. I can't, you know, share it with someone else. This is just, I'm here and I'm part of the atmosphere that is around this event. So yeah, I 100.
You just said it. I wasn't watching it. I was part of it.
Yeah.
I was part of that thing. I was there. We were all together. We're all learning together. We're, you know, it's, and learning in an environment like that, in that group where everyone's excited, you make friends, you make new connections, you learn new things. It's a fun thing. I love to do it myself.
Yeah.
I mean, look at photo walks, Fred. You don't learn a darn thing, but we love them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's fun. It's
a social event.
It's the social part of it. All right. I have a request for you before I let you go, Scott.
Of course.
I need you to run for office in 2020. Scott Kelby.
I don't need that. Man, if it's anything like supporting the Creative Cloud, then I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't say no. I'm just saying, Scott did not say no.
I'm saying no. I have feelings. I couldn't take all those people attacking me all the time. I take those things, you know. Like, you know, Fred, you wake up in the morning and someone goes on your Facebook page and just says, I hate you, and you're like,
yep, ruined your day.
I'm just trying to have a cup of coffee and a bagel, and now my day's trashed. Yeah, I there are people that can take that kind of abuse. I'm a wuss. I'm like, I can't believe they said that.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Politics ain't for you then. So
I don't have that thick of skin. No, I don't.
Well, where should the TWIP audience go to experience all this stuff? I mean, we mentioned a lot, like workshops, seminars, there's, you know, Kelby One, is all this stuff. Where's a good place for them to go to be connected to all of it?
Either my blog at scottkelby.com or just follow me on Twitter. I talk about pretty much whatever I'm doing on my blog and on Twitter and on Instagram. And I don't do it on Instagram. On Instagram, I just share travel photography. I don't really talk about what I'm doing. But so I would say Twitter or my blog, scottkelby.com. I also write a Lightroom blog every day called lightroomkillertips.com.
Wow.
And so,
where do you find all the time? Where, did you build a time machine where you could just rewind a day and do different things? Like, what is going on?
No, I do have a lot of help. I have a full-time assistant, and she's a great help. Cool. And, you know, I have also people here that help me, but I do all my own social. Which is why sometimes I miss a day. And I write all my own blogs and stuff. And people are like, they'll send me notes and they go, whoever's answering this. I'm like, if you hear from me, it was me. I don't have anybody. No one answers my emails. No, I do it all myself. I really enjoy that part, I guess. You know, sometimes when I don't have a blog subject, it's really tough.
Yeah.
I love it if I have, like, I know I'm going to write. But if it's like 9 o'clock at night and I realize, oh, I forgot to do my blog for tomorrow and I don't know what to write, it's misery. I'm like, no, I have nothing. And I'm looking through my notes. Did I write anything down? No.
Yeah.
Other rest of it, I love talking to people and helping people. And, you know, it's kind of the thing.
I know the feeling, sir. I know the feeling.
You do.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I know we needed to record an episode. What's the topic going to be? I have no idea. How about light? Let's talk about light this week.
Light's good. Light.
You can
light.
Always talk about light, you know.
It's, you know.
It's ubiquitous.
It's everywhere.
Exactly. Well, Scott, I'm going to let you go. Congratulations on everything, man. I mean, you're an inspiration in many ways. I mean, you're firing on all cylinders. You built this machine that is a positive force in the photography industry, and it's respected. Your brand is probably up there with Apple in terms of adoration of fans. So congratulations on all that stuff. You inspire me to build what I'm building over here. So, you know, and it's an honor to talk to you. So thank you for taking the time.
Very kind. Thank you, Fred. You're very kind. Thanks.
It's what I do. It's what I do. It's kindness, you know.
So you are. You're a very kind guy.
All right, Scott. Take it easy, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Best.
This is Twitter.